I'll ask that the Computex will give us any
apologies if they are. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members and colleagues. I've got apologies from MP Matsimbe, MP Waters, and MP Madela. From the side of the ministry, DM Squatcha will be joining us late. DM Mashego, I'm told she's in the cabinet committee meeting, and the minister as well. Thank you very much, Chair.
Do we have a written apology from the minister?
Yes, Chair, I did have it, but it was together from yesterday and today, but I don't have it with me today because I had it yesterday.
Ministers, PLO, you've got any update for us in the line-up, acting DG as well? Remember, the committee expressed itself quite strongly yesterday. It was not a mistake. It was not the spare of a moment. It was a procedural expression. Do you have any reflection in this regard? You can press, introduce yourself, and then speak.
Mr. Chair, I did convey to the minister, that's all I can tell. It's been a good seer from the ministry.
Do you have a response from me?
No, I don't have a response.
So as you were conveying, she just looked at you and said nothing?
No, I sent it through to the chief of staff of the minister. Attention.
Chair, I've also communicated, the head of ministry was also present yesterday in committee, and I was advised that the minister is at a meeting today in Pretoria, at a cabinet meeting, CABCOM meeting.
Honorable Filtani spoke yesterday on the same subject, indicated that even the previous minister had held these responsibilities, but he always made time to be with the committee. One point that was fleshed yesterday is that a committee sits usually on Wednesdays, and as it sits on Wednesdays, then that cabinet committee meeting sits also on Wednesday in cabinet, whatever. Now, is it the case again still on Thursdays? That's why I'm deliberately raising the issue and highlighting it. Because it looks like our committee days of Wednesdays have this clash with cabinet and cabinet committees. Now, but this is Thursday. Honorable Magadla, Honorable Chabelin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, since yesterday we have exhausted this issue, I would propose that what if we, the management of this committee, can talk to the minister alongside, because we all heard about this. And furthermore, we have got our own study group that we can express our views on.
Honorable Chaplain.
Thanks, Professor. I was just trying to check, is the apology in writing? Is there an apology in writing from the minister, and what does it say? Because I haven't had anyone reading that apology.
You have to wait. Yeah, like 1 hour.
Okay. That maybe we can apply our minds after reading what is in the apology.
Thank you, honorable members. Thank you very much. The Honorable Makata, just to fill you in, the meeting of yesterday dispensed with the apology of Minister yesterday. This meeting of today gets the apology of the Minister as an agenda item of today. So we can't, when we reach that item from the Chair, I said we have dispensed with the apologies, because this is another meeting with separate items on the agenda, even if some are flowing from yesterday. So the procedure is that we test information before us as we face it. I think that somewhere on the way forward, some of the points you made could fit, but we can't front load them, my honourable member, at the beginning of a meeting once the minister is not here. Oh, this is the same we dealt with yesterday. We may not deal with it in that manner. The merits of today may not be the same as the merits of yesterday on the issue. So that's why I opened it up. Then that's one. But then there's the issue about study groups of political parties. Once the issue is at the public level, then it's not fair for any political party, including the one to which I belong, to then withdraw it from that level and refer it elsewhere. Because now it's at a public level, and then we're bound by the Constitution at this level. So we can't withdraw an item about the attendance today and refer it elsewhere. Elsewhere, however, exists for all political parties. They have offices across. But then they will be dealing with going forward and consequences of whatever might have transpired here. Then they may have to deal with that. But it would be very, very unfair for any meeting to defer items to individual political parties. The responsibility of a minister in relation to the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee are carried in the Constitution and in the PFMA and so forth. So at this level, we've got to deal with it as such. That is why I then asked the PLO, because as the committee expressed itself yesterday, people like the PLO, I'm advised reliably that the head of the ministry was also there yesterday. I now remember they're still relatively new acting DG. And that's why in his presence I kept referring to you, but I should have referred to him. So you will convey my technical apology in that regard. I'm again referring to the acting DG because she is the accounting authority. Her portfolio, her office have a responsibility when they come, they're going anywhere, to cross-check with the political principal. Where do we stand? This is the briefing of yesterday. Where do we stand in relation to today? And lastly, Honorable Chabelin, you are spot on. You are definitely spot on. We need that return apology, and you write word for word. So what I will request will be the committee secretary to extract that at some relevant point in time and come back to the matter. The issue about ministerial attendance in parliament is the essence of oversight. In actual fact, for record now, in actual fact, the accountable person is the minister to a parliamentary portfolio committee. It's not the administration. The administration then substantiates the accountability of the executing authority. Right? That's the law, that's the line. So if you see a certain point being belabored, it's because I think that's what has got to be done. Acting DG, the accounting authority to Parliament is your political principal, whoever it becomes at any point in time, and whichever department or entity you serve at any point in time, is your political principal. But then, the political principal then bring along the department to substantiate their statements, as the administration is people who are hands-on. Thank you. I'll be very happy that I've made that point, so that point is clear. I will repeat it elsewhere, as Oral Makata correctly says. We have study groups, but we can't defer items to study groups once they are at this level. The duty of study groups to be ahead, and that they are ahead when that moment comes. But study groups can come and apply breaks in public meetings. All of them. As of yesterday, 17th, the apology of the minister was written like this. Apology for the portfolio committee meeting scheduled for the 17th to the 19th April. Kindly be informed that H.E. Maite Ngwana Mashabane, Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform, is unfortunately unable to attend the portfolio committee meetings scheduled for the 17th to the 19th April 2018. The minister will be attending cabinet meetings taking place on the said dates in Pretoria. However, acting DG and officials will be in attendance. And thank you for extracting this apology. If we were meeting tomorrow, I'll still be on the same item, because each meeting is dealing with its own agenda and has got apologies. Apologies don't stand over from the other day to the other. This is an apology on behalf of the Honorable Minister for the rest of the meetings of this week. I would suggest that, having read that as requested by Honorable Chavelin, with which I fully content, that we rest the matter at that point. The DG just want to say something.
Chair, just to confirm that indeed it is not normal that cabinet committees sit on a Thursday. But let me continue, Chair. But there is an ESET CABCOM that is happening today, and it would normally be in Cape Town, but it is actually happening in Pretoria. And that is where Minister had gone, and DM Squatcha then was to represent us. That is the information, Chair, that we have. Thank you.
Through your wisdom, Acting DG, here is the Cabinet Committee sitting, and here is the Portfolio Committee sitting. Which comes first? Thank you. I will then give, Honorable Fildan, and Honorable Sabelengi for the after.
Thanks very much, Chair.
I must say, Chair, that
we appreciate the spirit and the enthusiasm with which you are pursuing this matter. As parties sitting in opposition benches, yes, we know it is our primary function to keep the ruling party on its toes, so to speak. But sometimes we find ourselves constrained when members of the ruling party, in whichever portfolio they are, appear to be ready to accept lower levels of performance by the executive. We all know the ultimate consequences thereof. And that's why I make the point that we appreciate your enthusiasm, and we know that it's not even a question of being partisan for or against a given minister. You've always expressed yourself like that. But beyond that, there's something that acts me IRK, yes, in the minister's letter of apology. He has got two deputies. He says nothing about them. I didn't say assistant ministers, which is a totally different portfolio to that of a deputy. He says nothing about them, jumps over them as if ignoring them, as if they don't exist. If they do, they are of no consequence. He says the DG will be there. I have got a feeling, Chair, that matter does need to be pursued. I don't want to say necessarily by the committee as a committee, because we don't want, as a committee, to find ourselves in that space. Maybe it's more of an internal matter within the party itself or within the governing structure, as in saying cabinet. So I want to be on record as having suggested that that matter be pursued. Why does the minister, when she's not going to be in a meeting, say the DG will attend? As if she has no appetite for a political input to be factored into the proceedings of the day. It's her and her exclusively. This points to the need or otherwise for her to continue to have deputies. That's the point I'm driving to. And so at a certain point, I would expect that this matter would be addressed from that angle. Does she need deputies or does she not? Because that sends a clear signal to me that she doesn't recognize the deputies. And to that extent, in closing, Chair, this undermines whatever good intent Honorable Minister Squatter may be having by coming to this meeting. If his own minister jumps over him, ignores him, and just says the DG will be there, that's the effect it has. Arrest my case.
Alright, Chairman. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I see the importance of this discussion, Chairperson, but I don't think we can spend 2 days discussing one thing, and it takes even more than, I mean, close to an hour discussing just an apology of one person. I think that if there is anything, maybe a letter should just be written to the minister. Because I don't remember any time where she actually refused to come to meetings or not appearing in meetings, failing to appear without explaining where she is. It's a cabinet committee meeting. It's not happening in Cape Town. It is happening in Pretoria. She has apologized. And if there are issues, maybe let's, from your task there, write a letter and say, next time, delegate issues to somebody, because there are issues maybe that needs to be addressed by the minister, and that we move forward. Let's not make it a very big issue. I'm not saying that it's a small issue, but there haven't been, I don't remember ever the minister defying this committee or even failing to appear in meetings, except instances where she'll attend and leave in the middle of the meeting because there are engagements somewhere. And that, okay, she's the minister, but next time, if there are apologies, we cannot just sit down and discuss apologies, each and every one of them. I'm not saying it's not important, but I'm saying we need to at least or maybe refer some of these matters to political parties to deal with them in terms of internal party issues.
Thank you.
That's my humble suggestion.
Thank you so much. We've discussed the matter for 15 minutes. Now I'm recording myself and recording for everyone else. It's only fair. You ask me, with all my political morals and political ethics, is it fair for a meeting to look for about 15 minutes into? Yes, I would say so. The reason was, we're dealing with the APP of the department today. We're dealing with the APP of the Office of the Valuer General. We're dealing with the APP of the Restitution Commission today. We're dealing with what I may say in God's crisis of Northwest today. All these issues the minister must be acutely aware of. So from the chair, Nguni, why did you allow a discussion to stretch for 15 minutes? Proudly so, I raised my right hand, so help me God. Yes, I did, and it was very proper. It was the best thing I could do on behalf of the party that sent me to Parliament. And the reasons I have now stated, you know. We can't just brush over issues. We become a banana republic with no lines of accountability. we take the country through the crisis of lack of accountability, each one doing as he or she pleases. There are lines of accountability, there's a constitution, there are standards to be met, both in revolutionary, in academic, in professional, and in political spirit. True and true, there are standards to be met. The standards are for people to attend a meeting. That discussion, if it stretches because of this comment a little bit beyond the 15 minutes that it was, so be it. Now, shall I wrap it by so saying that? Mr. Pielo, acting DG, please insist on the minister attending portfolio committee meetings. Please do indicate that it's a constitutional imperative and a requirement. I know I'll meet the minister elsewhere. I will discuss it politically, but at this stage I'm sitting here officially and formally. Please do indicate that it is imperative for any minister, MEC in a provincial legislature, mayor if they are accountable to some legislative body or county or oversight body, mayors and all, it's very important for them to present themselves. I'll then step aside on that matter and indicate it has exhausted quite a lot of committee time, as you hear members say. Although some are really exaggerating way beyond imagination to say 2 days discussing. We never discuss this for 2 days. Because when we discuss and seek to find common law, we must be accurate with facts. We've discussed for 15 minutes before my closing remark now. I'm measuring time here. Right. So, it is a concern. I've seen ugly things in other committees. So if you arrest it early, then it becomes much, much better than allow issues to jump into crisis, to degenerate into crisis, and at that stage you seek to manage a crisis. Then it becomes ugly for everyone. So early enough, we're making that indication. I put my head acting DG on the block and say, when there's a cabinet committee and there's a series of committee meetings, it may not be that the minister is absent for the rest of that week from committee. I put my head on the block. I'm on record now. The minister must then juggle. Because I understand you also attend cabinet, technical committees of cabinet. Am I right? Thank you. And from time to time, you juggle in between. Thanks. And that's just the fact and the law. Thank you. The state law advisor is also here. They would advise if we're stretching it beyond the point. We have asked beyond that that we arrest it. Deputy Minister, I'm told, is going to join us on his or on her own accord. No one represents the other insofar as accountability to a portfolio committee of parliament. Each of the three executives must be available. No one represents the other, right? We'll then move now to the Northwest. We had asked you, Northwest, yesterday to reproduce your document in a correct format with at least some minimum level of compilation. And shall we ask that you give us the presentation, please?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members and colleagues. As introduced yesterday, my name is Richard Kyontaire, Provincial Head for Northwest. First, let me start by apologizing for yesterday's for having not included the original questions. I hope today we have managed to address that which the committee was expecting from us. As I've indicated yesterday, the presentation relates to the consultations that were held by the committee as part of CPA consultative process to two districts in the province. And just in brief, there were key about four CPAs where issues were raised sharply by the committee, and we have to respond to the questions raised one by one without necessarily altering the comments picked up by the committee. We took them as they are and responded to them one by one. The arrangement, it's like we couldn't put everything in one slide because the slide will have too much information. So there is a slide for particular questions from the people who are raising questions, and then we come to responses so that honorable members can be able to follow the responses to the original issues raised by the community members. The first one was from Mr. Jacob Mukhali, who raised a number of issues on the slides, the trust issues with regard to officials and the claims that were lodged which were never restored, and then the slide we are trying to update that which Mr. Mukhali was raising and the progress we have made to date with regard to this, the Katsung and Mami Road. As I have indicated before, most of the questions are more or less similar. They emphasize the same point in different forms. So when we talk to Mami Road and the Katsung, the details is in the presentation, but in general, we tried to summarize responses per CPA. For the Khatlumame Rose, in general, we have appointed a mediator to represent all differing parties, executive committee, consent group, interim committee, all of them, and all parties are working through the mediator to deal with those issues that have been raised. And because there is an issue about the trust issues also with regard to officials, we felt as officials we are being looked at negatively. So let's coordinate and address all issues from the Public Protector's Office so that we can instill the trust within the community again, and then even open ourselves to law agencies so that at least we try to instill the confidence of the people to what the government is trying to do. So to that effect, there has been a number of meetings held in between the different communities, and there was also a broad consultative meeting, two of them, of course, where all general members of the public are also briefed about the progress made. It was on the 7th, and the latest one was on the 14th, and so far, it seems like we are going toward the same direction, and they are all expressing one point to say they need that CPA to be put under administration. And on the next slide, there was also an issue around the finances. They were feeling that even the interim committee, they don't trust it. And then we especially Mr. Ron Mukhodi, he raised other issues relating to finances of the CPA, and then we emphasized that the finances will also be part of what the administrator will be doing. He'll be managing everything, including the finances of the CPA, and the report thereof will be sent to the office of the acting DDG, not to us as a province, because also us, we were also appointed as one of the problem parties in in the whole arrangement. And I must also indicate all that we are doing, this CPA's term of office has elapsed, so all these steps have been taken towards regularizing the CPA. And law enforcement agencies are on board. They are, if they have to scrutinize whatever is happening, including allegations against us as officials, they are doing that, and then the report will go to our superiors just to ensure that everything is about board. Officials are not just left alone whilst they are doing something which is not right or something which is not expected of them as public officers. As I fear, this one is the same. It's a continuation of what I've been emphasizing to indicate that the public protector is on board and everything is done through the Office of the Public Protector with regard to this CPA in question. Yeah, the point that I was emphasizing of finance being one of the issues that will be managed, will be expected in the report of the administrator as part of his mandate in ensuring that things are normalized at Mamelodi in the Capital CPA. And I must also indicate that this is a CPA which has got a very, very, very rich land, more than 1,500 hectares under irrigation. So currently, commercial farmers are running things on their behalf paying rent. So we really want to make sure that we regularize everything so that we can release the grants, we can have a CPA that can do what is expected to do, and the community can have the trust of the community of the CPA again. There was also a question by Susan Musito. Here are the questions from Mayile, also relating to the Khatlum. He was emphasizing more or less the same issues raised by others, but in different ways. Frustrations about the CPA and allegations leveled at officials, just like others did. Then there was another CPA, Bakata CPA, which is the second CPA, also very big, community of over 300,000, 32 villages under Bakata Bakafel. They raised issues around frustrations, the old CPA. There was a constitutional court matter with regard to Bakata CPA, where it was emphasized that the will of the people should prevail, which means the CPA must be able and be given space to operate and be able to take decisions outside the traditional authority. But they were not in charge. But the progress that we have made, and also in trying to address what the Bakata issues relating to Bakata CPA, we have appointed the mediator to facilitate the dispute between the three affected parties, being Bakata Traditional Authority and two parallel CPA, because the original CPA, which took the department or the other party to court, has split into two. Now we're talking about two CPAs plus Traditional Authority. Then through the mediator, all parties are being afforded a platform to raise all the concerns, and the mediator to submit the report to the acting DDG for implementation of the recommendation. So to resolve this issue, we even appointed also an election agency through the Office of the State Attorney, because it's also a court matter. They are taking each other to the courts. But in doing that, we felt we need to also indicate to the portfolio committee to say the conflict around Bakata land, it's quite deep. We are just addressing the symptoms. The root causes are too complex, because there is contestation on chieftainships, and then even community members are involved and choosing sides. So those fights are seen at the level of power to control the CPA. Beneficiation and control of mines, there are mines in the area. Whoever has got influence in a particular corner of another village, he feels they can take control rather than the general traditional community. administration of state land, communal land, and restituted land. There are conflicts. The CPA in particular controls over 50% of Pilanesberg Game Reserve. Their land is inside the game reserves, and there is a lot of wealth running inside the game reserve. So all these factors are a cause for all these conflicts within the CPA and within the community in general. For example, in May you'll have another constitutional court sitting in one of the villages under Bakatlabal Kafel, and you'll be surprised they are able to fund themselves right into the constitutional court. We even suspect that even some of the mining houses, of course, they are funding them to do whatever. So there are many power battles within this. To that effect, on the next slide, because we feel as a department, as officials in the province, although we want, of course, we are compelled to assist the poor men inside the community. We feel sometimes it becomes we are constrained to really address other issues and represent the people we are supposed to represent or assist in the community. That's why we felt we convinced the office of the deputy minister to call a meeting from a neutral point so that we can have all parties in one room so that we can develop a way forward. On the 24th, which is next week, the deputy minister will be having a meeting with all the stakeholders as part of an assistance to the mediator who is also being appointed by this department. So hopefully it will be a step forward, because you want to regularize the CPA so that it can realize the benefits that it's having. Currently the CPA in government has got the balance of grant of around 84 million. 84 million is there within the department's books to assist this. But that money cannot be released because of the parties are fighting amongst themselves. Even in the province passport, there are many benefits that the CPA must realize those benefits inside Pilanesberg. But maybe through this process, we will start moving the right way and making sure that beneficiation does happen to the poorest person inside the villages of Bakhala. Another CPA was Ramatlakane CPA. Questions were raised. In Ramatlakane CPA, like I said, we've got around 150 CPAs in the province. Approximately 10 are difficult. And the CPAs that are here, about 4 or 5, are part of those. But we've got a plan to really normalize all the 5 CPAs raised here. But the amendment of the CPAs Act probably will assist us, because they are capitalizing on loopholes on the current Act. But I think with controls, as this portfolio committee has made them, at least it will assist us maybe to cap those loopholes within the CPA Act, because all these challenges is because of some inconsistencies in the whole CPA Act. But I think we are equal to the task to address that. In Ramatlakane, we have also appointed mediator since July. The CPA has normalized, and then things are going towards the right direction. We are expecting the report by end of June this year. Then such a report will go to the acting TTG, because we felt we need somebody neutral so that even the mediator should report there, and then for us to just implement the recommendations. There was also comments by Colin Mudibua, Mudinwana. He made those comments. Our response to the comments was that
we want to hear the comments to which you are responding.
Oh, okay, sir. Yeah. The department works as an agent for colonial government. For example, Act 23 of 1978, the Botswana Traditional Act, is still being enforced indirectly. The conflict between traditional leaders, CPA, is the result of interfacing of old and new laws, BMR gets on the land and it does not address the questions of ownership of land. CPAs are not recognized. Sunbelt 119JQ, the minister to move faster to issue title deeds, having claimed original land, bring it back as was the case when we left. I must indicate, yes, to a certain extent, in state land management in the province, we still recognize the proclamation of the Estuary Group government. So that act, we recognize pieces of land where it was a traditional leader so-and-so rules here, traditional so-and-so rules here. But of course, the department is in the process of improving control of land. That is maybe the introduction of communal land tenure bill will also assist in that regard. The property in question is under claim, which they have talked about is under claim, but has not been finalized on behalf of the community. The department is in the process of determining the question of compensation received at the time of dispossession. Some communities received compensatory land, so the research unit of commission is addressing that part. Since there are conflicts within the community, the settlement of the claim has been paused for the process of mediation to be completed. The matter will be finalized on the mediation process. Once the mediation process has been completed, depending on the settlement agreement to be reached by all the parties concerned. So it is true, the land is state land that they are referring to, the Sunbelt piece of land is a state land. There were questions also by DSS Mafoko. They lodged a claim on Kafras Kral, Royval, with Bosport. The problem is that people are allocating land to themselves and land is being sold. Claimants waited for government to give the land to us, but people are self-allocating the land. The matter was reported at Mafeking at the CLRR, at the Department of at the Commission offices. Our comments and progress made to that, the claim is part of the new border claims, which has been interdicted by the Constitutional Court judgment, in brackets, Lamona. In terms of the judgment, the Restitution Commission cannot proceed with the investigation of the claim. The office is currently undertaking roadshows to alert communities of the status of new order claim and discourage land invasion. That's all that we could do as a province whilst we are still waiting for the way forward. There were also questions raised by Baby Makhaledisa with regard to now Bedford Bay, Batu, that area around Featherstone. A committee member and a beneficiary. Our grandfathers bought the farm long ago. Mr. Wahatsu told us land was a factory of slavery under the apartheid of the Tswana government. People are oppressed by the chairperson and Mr. Wahatsu. On the 26th, 2017, Mr. Wahatsu told us, you do not have rights. The land has been taken away by a company, Manana Wahatsu, a turnover, a relative of Mr. Wahatsu. Mr. Nkwinti has been made aware of this, but he decided to ignore the matter. Mr. Sibabe, the registrar, the bill proposed that people like him must be appointed. There is no confidence in the department. These chiefs go around saying that they bought the farms, but the land was bought by the landowners, which means their great-grandfathers. Our response to this is that to date, this CPA, the term of office, which is Batron CPA, has lapsed. The office is in the process of regularizing of the CPA. the main point of contention. All these queries are as a result of the CPA is not regularized. Mr. Bukhasu, who happened to be the chief director in the office of the Regional Land Claim Commission Northwest, does not relate to any in any way with the Bukhasu surname that is being referred to. The allegation was that it's Mr. Bukhasu's wife. Unfortunately, Mr. Bukhasu is saying it's not related to that person, it's just the same name being similar. The office is in the process of appointing an election agent to assist in the running of the election. Furthermore, Land Rights Management Facility, which is manager attorneys, are in the process of being appointed to investigate allegations against affected officials, which include Mr. Bukhasu in the department, the traditional leaders who are also alleged to be doing some things wrong, and any other stakeholder. And of course, the report thereof will be submitted to the office of the acting DDG. The other comments came from Mr. Matala in Jericho. Batsetar River around there, she was born. The land is under claim and is done. They were surprised, five of us who heard about this claim, and we do not know who to where to claim from. According to them, the rightful people are Davi, Kwele, Tahe, Kunzi, Bube. These are the families that were resident of the land. Sipupute is close to the area people of the Sipupute. We took it as it was from the complainant without any editing or correction thereof. The complaint relates to the new order claims which are affected by a constitutional court order. We just kept them safe. Once we've got the forehead to continue investigating, we'll do so. The Maile is a private land that they ask the parliament must investigate their land issue, investigate the Mafokeng 1983. The Maile is a village where the Katlong and Mamerose land claims were moved to at the time of dispossession. That is, the Katlong and Mamerose, that's where they were moved, because it's literally land. The land is currently state land under the administration of Northwest PSSC. A land rights inquiry was conducted by the province over the various portions as mentioned there. Recommendation of the land rights inquiry are that there should be a land title adjustment through Act 1111 of 1993, work is in progress, whilst other portions will be dealt with by long-term registration dealing with communal land and Mantos, a CPA in Madibeng, he does not issue title deeds. The CPA, the Section 42 was approved by the claimant in terms of the restitution process. The land is settled, belonged to Madibeng local municipality. The settlement agreement was signed in 2016. The delay was as a result of missing council resolution. The conveyancer is appointed by all the, and all the transfer documents are with the municipality to sign for the transfer of the land to the claimant. We anticipate the transfer to happen before the end of June because everything is with the municipal manager to sign so that we can settle the land back to Mantos CPA. Donald Shakaran Pele, he lodged the claim in March 2017. We were expected to receive a word from government. Nothing has happened to date. Follow up on the land claim, Ramatlakane government bought land about 33 portions. Comments from the department, the claim is affected by the new lodgement, that is the Lamosa case. And we further indicate that the mediator was appointed to mediate the conflict. A report on allegation of corruption and maladministration against the CPA and officials The next one is Mr. Simon Nwatsi, Mother Spray CPA. They bought government, they bought the farm. The remainder of the grants are still outstanding. Many government officials have been changed over time. We are saying the land was acquired by the department through the redistribution program and the land was transferred to the CPA. It's alleged that the CPA has since allocated the restored land for settlements due to its proximity to Marikana mine. There is a balance of around 30,375, which is a small amount of money, on the commitment register of the department. The office is in the process of establishing a right inquiry by end of May to consult with the CPA members and make recommendations on the future resolution moving forward. Their land is completely occupied. It's now a residential area, but of course we'll consult the owners of the land in a form of CPA, even though they've allocated, some of the members have allocated their land for residential purposes. The next one was Mr. Leshauke Tinuham. The CPA's election is related to the CPA in Potchefstroom, which is Barolombo Matwa. The CPA has election, but there were problems because the elections were not successful. The reason is that there was interference of the department. The committee was elected but not yet registered. We were told that the case was sent to the CPI and the registrar. We do not know if this is true or not. We ask Parliament to intervene 3 months from the registration, but the new committee is not yet registered. Another question we've got from the same CPA, seen as part of concern group, and therefore no one in government wants to engage with her. The challenge is that the CPA does not help them and none listen to them. The farm has been allocated to people that are not known to the CPA members. At Matwang, there is no water, no electricity, no basic amenities, but the people who are from elsewhere in the province are allowed to live there and they receive services. The blame has been put on the doorstep of the department. The department always changes officials who support us. They do not have the background of the matter. People have been to Mafeking for different engagements about the matter, but nothing has happened to date. We were told that because we are a concern group and referred to as jealous people, no one will help us. Our comments and progress made in trying to resolve the matter. The initial challenge in the dispute is the outcomes of the elections. Mediator was appointed, that is Mulefe Atini, to mediate the dispute. The mediator has met with all the parties and parties failed to reach an agreement on how to resolve the dispute on the outcome of the elections. The old CPA committee took the matter to Trokwe Magistrate Court to intervene, to interdict the concern or the new committee from interfering with the administration of the CPA. The court ruled that there is no legitimate CPA and that the meeting must be held with all the beneficiaries to elect an interim committee that will lead to the election of the new committee. The department is in the process of appointing election agent to facilitate such elections. So it's also an issue of regularizing the CPA and that there should be peace once we have finalized the regularization process, but the good thing we will utilize the state attorney because it's a court matter to make sure that we reach to a conclusion quickly. The Garen CPA, in March 2002, they were given land, they asked the balance of grants, and we were told that the recap policy was introduced and the balance of grants can no longer be issued. This does not work for the CPA as it was for individual farm. The same story which is in that slide, we've got the balance of grant available for them around 800. We will develop a part of responses to Barolombo Mudibuwa in Matuan, the initial challenge, it's similar to that I think I've done this like years. Yeah, the balance of grants for Ikahen CPA is 81,000. The department has established a team to facilitate, to advise the province on the release of balance of grants approved and support to all land reform beneficiaries. So the matter is at national level to advise us on how to address all these balances of CPAs in the past. The other one is also Radukwani, Matram village, over 23 years was allocated to people. There is no progress there. The reason, among others, there is people from different departments such as VRDR who do not understand the role, their roles and responsibility. Our comment here is that there is a growing trend for community members, especially CPA beneficiaries, whenever they differ among themselves, they direct their anger on officials, including making allegations. But as officials, we accept that because we are public servants. We are even people are frustrated. They must go to government. We accept that. The trend is increasing and is fueled by a number of social factors, unemployment, greed among CPA community members, the environment there, and fighting for positions. But we always understand and try to listen and address. We understand that government is their last resort to assist them. That is why there is a need to really amend the act so that there can be proper processes and proper control measures within the CPA Act. Pomolo CPA funding and the troubles in the CPA, DAF funded our project. Our response to this Pomolo CPA, yes, the CPA was registered in 2017. DAF funded the project with an amount of 1,090,000 was spent on protective clothing. 910 was redirected to other projects because the newly elected CPA alleged that the internal processes of the CPA was not properly followed on requesting for funding. Several meetings were held with DAF and claimants to resolve the problem, but the agreement was not reached. A resolution was that funding be withdrawn and the new application for funding will be submitted. It's also a question of CPA members differing among themselves, some going all the way to get funding, eventually others refusing to accept that funding, and then eventually DAF themselves, they redirected the funds elsewhere. But we are in continuous meeting with DAF, trying to make sure that we assist the CPA with whatever relevant to fund them with. Ourselves, we will try to fund the CPA because they are fighting amongst themselves. I think that was all. Thank you. Additions?
No, thank you, Chairperson. We covered.
Thanks. Welcome, the Deputy Minister. Thank you very much. The apology was forwarded, and thank you for joining us. We know you've got a lot of responsibilities, but thank you for always making time to present yourself before the committee. Thank you so much. Honourable members, there's the Northwest report. Honourable Mbabama, you'll be the first one, followed by Honourable Matiase, or followed by Honourable Filtane, and lastly will be Honourable Nchabele. Thank you. As you discuss, you may also wish to advise how do we process the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll have to think about that one in terms of processing the report. But I just have a couple of comments. In when listening to the report as a whole, taking it as a whole, I must say it does not inspire confidence at all in the effectiveness of the officials of the department. And I can't really pinpoint to certain things, but you know, just the feeling that I get from the report, it does not inspire confidence in terms of what they've done. Secondly, I feel that the complaints of the people were not captured succinctly. We don't get a picture. It was a long time ago, but obviously I know the officials were there when the people were complaining. I just feel that they did not take the time they did not take the time to capture what was said by the people in bullet points so that it's clear and it is on record and even us are reminded when we see the bullet points. So that is just something that is bothering me a little bit in terms of getting the people's complaints clearly to us. Also, it seems that, I don't know, maybe it's because we are told that the department is understaffed, but every time there is a problem, we seem to employ people externally. And I'm just wondering, at what cost does this come? How much do these people charge, these mediators, these election agents, these attorneys? How much do they charge? Do we really budget for all of this? I'd be interested to see in the budget whether we budget for all these people. But it worries me that every time there seems to be a problem, we go to mediators and election agents. How confident are we that these people are competent, that they know what they are doing? And can they just bring us one report from one of these mediators or from the election, the original report, so that we can see the quality of the reports themselves that come from these mediators, to give us a sense of comfort that the people that they are appointing to solve these problems are really interested in doing the job and they can do the job at the end of the day. Mr. Bukhat is not in the room, is he? Because I don't know. Is that Mr. Bukhat from the Northwest? Your name, sir, comes up a lot in land reform projects, and it's not in a nice way. People are complaining about you. It's Mr. Mukhasu this, Mr. Mukhasu that, and I'm really worried because I feel that there is no smoke without fire. I mean, one of the reports here have said that the money went into your account and things like that. People just don't go out of their way to say things about a person. And I would really ask the department, especially the acting DG, if Mr. Bukhatsu has been, what is the English word, investigated at one stage. Because you cannot have so many allegations against an official and nothing is done about it. No, the people must be lying. No, they just don't like his face. You know, it can't be that. In order for Mr. Mukhazu also to have sense of comfort to clear his name, I feel that his seniors should have an investigation done on him. And I'm not just talking about the cases that I've just heard here. I was in the deputy minister's office the other day, where we were dealing with a complaint on the grounds that had come to his office. And Mr. Mukhatu's name came up again there. The deputy will attest to that. And even then, it was in a negative sense. Honestly. And sir, it is not right, because I'm looking you in the eyes right now and you seem to be a decent gentleman of integrity. So if your name is being pulled through the mud, I feel that the onus is on your seniors to actually clear your name.
Because it's not nice to have, you're a father, you're a husband probably, and it's not nice to have your name dragged through the mud. So at some stage we have to clear your name. Or find out what is happening. I will stop there, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Baba. Honourable Matthias, floor is yours, sir.
Well, thanks, Chair. Look, in 2016, I received a complaint from a group of individuals who appear on this report. Then I had no knowledge of how the matter should be approached, but I'm grateful that this matter once and for all has now been brought forward. These individuals were Jacob Mkgali, Joseph Mkgali, Abel Tlong, Joe Mkhosi, and several others. And they are from some of the CPAs mentioned, the Khatlong, Mamerotse, etc. And they've been complaining about how they've been taken from pillar to post. They've been complaining about various officials who they suspected that they had conflicted roles and had conflicted interests, colluded with members of the CPAs, colluded with some of the high-ranking officials, known officials and politicians in Northwest about interests, not only on land, but interest on mineral resources that are found on the land concerned. So Chair, it's not just like it's a one way, it's a very complex matter where they even complain that they've been knocking at all different doors. They went to different people. They reported this matter to the Human Rights Commission, to the Public Protector. Then they even approached the Special Investigation Unit. They were told that their complaint cannot be attended to because before such can be attended to, there's a need for proclamation from the presidency and all sorts of things. Investigators have been appointed by the Department of Rural Development and Reform, but each time these investigators would either be removed or some investigators would demand bribes. And some of police officers also demand bribes. A case was opened at Assen Police Station, Commercial Crime Unit, and seeing that police would not make any progress in their investigation, they even reported some of these cases to IPED. Now, we are dealing with a very complicated matter here of various role players, vertical and horizontal. And there's an instance where even there in their report, Jacob Mkgali and them, who represent Khatlong and Mamerotse, they're even alleging at one point various mediators were appointed, one of which was Dr. Naleen Maharaj. They also allege that I will come back later to the role of Dr. Nalin Maharaj. They also allege that departmental officials even used false spreadsheets to capture and register beneficiaries fraudulently to fast track land acquisition, settlement, and restitution and related transactions. And they also allege that the Department of Mineral Resources, some officials working for that department, are also involved in this scheme. And this can be nothing else but, Honorable Chair, a scheme.
Sorry, just a second. Honorable members, I had earlier on in opening made indications about the quorum for the meeting and the number of reports to be adopted. I am mindful about every other funeral, bereavement, everything. But I really want to make appeal because I see people now beginning to look at me with eyes. But what can we do? Those who are revolutionary, I really appeal to revolutionary consciousness. It is the most revolutionary thing to remain in the meeting and to make sure that we pass all the work that we want to pass on behalf of our people. I equate what I'm going to go into the past. It's absolutely revolutionary. I really appeal to conscience. I know levels of conscience might actually differ. What do we do? State law advisor is here, and parliamentary legal are here. We're supposed to pass bills that will liberate our people. Sorry, you can just listen to me, or I'm traveling. Where you don't understand, it's fine. I'll fill you in. But I know what I'm talking about because I'm disturbing Matthias because there's an issue. So I'm really appealing to members. One member leaves, we then without quorum. And we cannot, if we proceed, it's just a tit-a-tit. So I stick to the point I'm making. Thank you, Honorable Matthias, you can proceed.
There's also an allegation that the high-ranking politicians who are either fraudulently included as part of beneficiaries or their identities are hidden. They are sort of slipping, or what is this other concept for people who don't want their identities known? Slipping or partners or something like that, whose identities are hidden. So I agree with the Honorable Member Bamba. Mbabama. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly this time around. I have to say it another time. I agree with her that our people have been taken for a ride in Northwest. And why is it so these allegations are so pronounced and they're so vast is because of the history of that province, in that it has been a Bantustan and there's been people who have been removed from their land or from their land. And hence perhaps Northwest has got the largest registered number of CPFs. I don't know, maybe by national standards I may be not speaking from any vantage point. And officials tend to take advantage of that and would not be doing justice if we don't get to the bottom of it, Honorable Chair. And in getting to the bottom of it, then require that this committee must recommend that all officials who are alleged to be involved and implicated in all of this must be removed from their current roles or responsibilities. They must work like us. They must be in all over. They must be sent to the Eastern Cape. They must work there. They must be transferred. They must go to the Eastern Cape and go and start to learn new things, even the language over there. And come back after they have learned the language. Would perhaps have to recommend that there must be an inclusive, multidisciplinary forensic investigation. I don't know how that would be carried, how it would be put together, as you have asked us to make recommendation on the way forward. A multidisciplinary investigation, perhaps first at the level of the parliament or the committee, together with other affected portfolio committees, such as mineral resources, so that we go there and do a fact-finding on the extent of these allegations. And parallel to that process, there must be a multidisciplinary forensic investigation, which recommendations and findings will have to be acted upon very harshly. If it means heads should roll, so be it. This information presented before us, Honorable Chair, is not, as you said yesterday, and many members of the committee bemoaned the quality of the report. I'll perhaps propose that we need to get a full report. One, it must give us the full and comprehensive profile of each CPA. We need to get list of beneficiaries. We need to get the total of hectares of land of each CPA acquired by the beneficiaries, including the constitutions that go with such CPA. We need to get information about through which instrument was these pieces of land acquired. Was it as a result of restitution, or was it as a result of land reform or land redistribution? We need to get information about amounts involved. If these pieces of land or farms were acquired through government intervention, we need to know how much government spent on each of these farms. We also need to know what is government role in a post-settlement dispensation. Has there been any help from government through various intervention programs that are available in order to ensure that once people have been settled, they have been properly trained, there is skills transfer, there is, if there's a need for technical assistance from government officials, such as extension officers, or any other form of help that government has ever offered. We need to get this information so that when we go to the province for a fact-finding mission, we know what awaits us and how to deal with the process. But as I say, and I will be repeating myself, we need a multidisciplinary forensic investigation to get into the bottom of this matter, so that in the final analysis, our people get to our people confidence. Otherwise, our people would not have gone to all of these government agencies and institutions. It's because they have at one point had faith in these institutions. But their faith in the institutions have been eroded by by people like ourselves who are pursuing own and self-interest at the expense of beneficiaries on these CPAs. People who save themselves will got no regard whatsoever of the needs and the interest of our people. And we need to protect the faith of our people, because there's what is anything that sustains our people's hope for a change and better South Africa is their faith in these institutions. And Northwest, being a notorious province for all wrong reasons, must be, as we get into that province, Honorable Chair, we must leave no stones unturned. We must go to the highest office and to the lowest office in that province. You may find that people who are involved in this scheme are very high up in the hierarchy of government in that province. Thank you so much.
Before Honorable Filton, shall I take Honorable Robertson?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Happy to unmind, Honorable Fontana. thanks for the report. As my colleagues have said, extremely worrying when you read some of the complaints. And I have all sorts of questions about allegations of corruptions that are taking place, and it's it seems like the reports come through and the allegations come through from every department, from every CPA nearly in every province. Northwest, it's just your time today, so good luck. The high-level panel report spoke of land reform and the issues with land reform and the stumbling blocks of land reform. And they itemized, or they mentioned three main reasons, which are the stumbling blocks. Corruption was number one. Lack of departmental capacity was number two. And then thirdly, the lack of political will. And if you examine all three of these, you can see exactly where they tie into the examples that have just been given us, or given to us. The corruption is blatant. Now, I also understand that frustrations on CPAs build up, especially when the first reports from Jacob Bokhale was reported through to the department in 2006, which is 12 years ago. One can imagine, and I'm reiterating what I said yesterday, one can imagine the frustrations of talking and complaining about issues that are pertinent and nothing gets happened, when nothing gets done, and ultimately when nothing happens and the department doesn't act, the very next allegation is corruption. That person must be corrupt because they're not assisting us. And this ties into corruption and the political will, or the lack of political will to be able to assist our people. Now, I am a product of a family business that had to separate because the family just couldn't get along, and there were three brothers. And one way or the other, we've all gone our separate ways because three of us in the family couldn't get along. We're now throwing 300,000 people together in one CPA and expecting everybody to get along. Especially when the stakes are up to, when it comes to speaking of land ownership and the possibility of generating profit, the stakes are higher, tensions are higher, and the allegations become more. And I reiterate, if there's no action on the department on the side of the department, then there will be allegations of corruption. And corruption on a provincial level can be handled if there is intervention strategies in place to handle that corruption. But if there are allegations that continuously gets his apartment and nothing happens about it and there's absolutely no accountability, primarily you are opening up the door for more allegations, and secondly, you're not stopping the corruption if there is corruption. And it comes down to this level of governance, us. The department needs to act decisively, post-settlement support, quickly and decisively. When issues of allegations come up, they need to be investigated. When there are social issues that are affecting certain CPAs because of certain people's misconduct, we need to investigate that as soon as possible to reinstate the faith that our people once had in our systems. Without doing such, we're wasting our time, ladies and gentlemen. Post-settlement support and assistance is vital. But we also need to ask ourselves the question, what role does the department play in post-settlement assistance? Do we play a role where suddenly government officials and department officials are being brought in to handle the social indifferences of people? Or is our role in department to ensure that the legislative measures are met and our mandate is met? And I think that we need to be particularly careful when our departmental officials are being roped into social ills or basically just a lack of being able to get along with one another. Because as soon as our departmental officials get roped into that and they can't assist because they haven't got the mandate to assist, then suddenly there's allegations of corruption again. So we need to be very careful. We need to figure out what is the department's mandate handling CPA issues. I want to ask also about, now you're going to have to check my pronunciation, Bakhatla Bakhafela CPA. They said, you said 300,000 beneficiaries from three different communities. 32 villages. Wow. What was the point of getting a CPA then? I'd like to know that. Have those communities or those villages social differences, social standing, have they changed? Have they increased? Have they improved? 300,000 beneficiaries. Well, you're going to have to elaborate on that, please, sir. I'd like to know more about that CPA. Really would. The other thing that departmental staff and departmental officials, especially the ones that are inclined to be leaning towards corruption and issues that are of not clarity or not of clarity on CPAs, is they are taking advantage of beneficiaries that are ill-informed and ignorant regards to policies and what their rights are. And I don't know if the department's going out there enough and embracing the fact that many of our beneficiaries are ignorant to their rights and that are ill-informed. Are we doing enough to inform them of their rights? Are we going out there and we're actually cautioning people and saying, these are your rights, ladies and gentlemen. This is what you need to know and this is what you don't need to know. Because the heartache involved with taking it, being taken advantage of simply because you don't know what your rights are is terrible. When you don't know what your rights are and those rights get manipulated by the very people that are supposed to be assisting you, you can start understanding why tempers are running high. Again, last point. Thank you. I won't take 14 minutes. I think I'm on about 7 now, Honorable Chair. My last point is...
That's I will give you.
Okay, thank you.
For all members, you know that I'm very liberal with your time. The only sad moment is when one consumes as much time
and one is not prepared to remain with us up until the last hour. We can, because we've got to strike a balance. No, no, I'm not insinuating on you, Honorable Robertson. You are still within the time I'm giving you. But I'm just saying to the meeting, I'm looking at the numbers. I like the looting now. At the numbers of items. And I'm caught in between. If we restrict members' speaking time, then it will be like we're censoring. But if we open it up, then we must just be prepared to stay up until 10 p.m. And I am prepared to stay that long, and I am prepared to give you all the time. But members must be honest with us in the meeting. But Honorable Robertson, you are on your last point, and this is a general point I was intervening on. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. So, basically, the high-level report, the high-level panel report, has been explained and justified in detail from what we've just heard, headed by Kgalema Motlanthe. Corruption and nepotism, the lack of departmental capacity, and the lack of political will to be able to ensure that these projects work. I'd like for everybody to keep that in mind going forward, and I'll ask supplementary questions after that. Thank you very much.
All right, Bill Filtani.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. This is a province in dire straits, especially considering that this is possibly just the tip of the iceberg. I think, Honorable Chair, we have to resign ourselves to a situation where we say we need a deeper dipstick in order to get to the bottom of this problem. I think Northwest qualifies for special attention. It's different from other provinces. Bottom line is that you and I are public reps. We have got the departmental officials. You've got the cabinet that's been appointed. But all in all, the people of South Africa, and in this case, the citizens of Northwest, look up to their elected representative, irrespective of which party they fall into, irrespective of whether they are part of the executive, an extension of the executive being an official of government, or whether you are a member of parliament. They say, we have got a government, we have got land, we would like to have things going our way. There's a police force, there's a Department of Commerce, or whatever you call it, but we are unable, for one reason or another, to fully tap into the resources that are at our disposal. And if all these institutions and persons can combine their, put their heads together and say, this is how we want to best prepare for the people to be able to exploit the riches of their land, this is the moment. It's a moment. I'm glad that the Deputy Minister is around. We do need, you know, a political buy-in into this. My colleagues have taken quite a long time trying to explain what I'm trying to summarize, just so that we've got one focal point to look at, to say this province needs special attention, because unlike so many others, they have got a lot under the ground. Unlike the Eastern Cape as an example, unlike KZN, you know, they've got quite a lot. And combine that with the fact that I think, if I'm not wrong, part of that was of the province, you know, was a homeland. I hope I'm correct. And then you'd find that they've tasted a different type of administration, you know, for a given period of time. Let me start from the end. I've already covered one point there, Chair. My question is to the department, and it's a fundamental one. Does the department have appropriately qualified staff, both in Northwest as well as in the relevant division at head office? I'm asking this question because I'm looking at the number of outside parties that the department has to look up to as to procure at great cost in order to resolve this multiplicity of problems. I don't know how many cases have been tabled before us, and I repeat, I believe this is only the tip of the iceberg. I don't think the department is appropriately staffed, because the moment you've got to go outside and look for a mediator, that tells you that you don't have one inside. Or if you do have one, it's just too much. There's just too much work on his or on her desk. So I would like for the department, you may not necessarily answer me today, but factor that question into your revised APP. I may not necessarily remember that when we're dealing with your APP, but just ask yourself that question, looking at the challenges, because we've got ongoing challenges within the department. Do you have appropriate staff to deal with these matters internally on an ongoing basis? Because we're not dealing here with issues that are going to disappear, not in the next 2 or 3 years. These are fundamental questions or issues. Now, let me just deal very quickly, Chair, with the various questions. On the very first one, the Gatong and Mamerota CBAs, there's disrupted meetings. Now, what role does the mediator play when meetings are disrupted? If you've got a report, you know, of the mediator. Next question is on the Ramogale. What is the department doing about these problems where people have lost hope in the CPA? What is the department doing about that? You know, that is not a typical mediation call, mediator call. There's something else that needs, you know, to be factored in there, because a mediator would come in where people, you know, are battling, you know, to understand one another on certain issues. But once people lose hope in the CPA, even if it's because of ongoing disputes, then maybe you need something else to deal with that. On the Susan report, why did the government force people to join the Dikgatlong CPA? Because throughout the country, there has been this cry that we're dealing with these CPAs. We are dealing typically with what are called forced marriages. Now, when you get a report who says people were actually forced to join it, why go for what I think would have been, was seen as an easy way out? On Bakhatla, multiple contestations over resources, power, chieftainship, and what have you. Herein comes in my question again. Does the department have internal capacity to handle this kind of situation? I want to doubt. As an example, where there's mining, are the officials at the coal face of these interactions aware of the laws that govern mineral rights in the country so that they can explain what is involved when people are battling over this? Are the officials at the coalface aware of the laws that govern chieftainship? Because you could be having a totally differently capacitated team of administrators there. And we expect the poor souls to be able to navigate mineral laws, to be able to navigate laws relating to chieftainship, and they have got no clue. When they were appointed, this is not what they foresaw. When they were appointed, this is not what the department said. On some day, you'll come across this. So those are some of the questions that the department needs to ask itself. Are these people capable of handling this type of problem? Fast forward. Ramatlakhana, I didn't know that Ramatlakhana has got a CPA. I'm referring to about the one who is a member of parliament. I'll check it out with him. Has any criminal case been opened against to investigate the alleged allegations of apparent bribery involving Mr. Pohatso? When there is a suspect auspicious incident reported, one of the things that you do is to say, let's give this to the appropriate department to handle. That's why I wanted direct, I'm putting this direct question as to whether there has been, it has been found appropriate to open any criminal case. I'm not going to say if not, why not. But I just want to know, because there's a suspicion that has been brought up. The Katlong and Memoretso. Are the local officials, okay, I've already covered that, are the local officials clued up on the laws governing mineral rights? Waival and Bosport. What were the reasons for the interdicts here? And for what length of time is the interdict valid? Because we find that things have stalled simply because there is this interdict. Maybe when we come to know what were the reasons and for how long, then we'll be able to suggest a solution. Towards the end, Chair, the Donald Mphahlele case. Has the department explained to the people the implications of the Concord judgment? I'm referring here to the judgment where the court said, wait, hold back on the 2014, you know, where Glenn claims. Finalize the 1998 claims. That is what I'm talking to here, just in case the relevant people from Northwest may not be aware of what I'm specifically referring to. Has the department explained to the people, because people are getting impatient, they lost a claim. The response that you see here does not indicate to me that people have been told about the implications of that Concord. Lastly, Chair, as a remark, in the most depressing part about this progress report is the misnomer, which is revealed by the fact that there is no word at all about production-related progress. It's all about conflicts, as if these officials are working with these communities only to spend, shall I say, 90% of their time trying to resolve. What is the department doing about that? Here are a number of hot cases here. No word at all. We are going to be left in this parliament with the impression that there is zero production at all. And possibly a large amount of money is being used to hire lawyers, mediators, this and that. And very little going to actual production. That was never the original intention of establishing the CPAs. Why is there no report at all? Does this mean that there is actually all production has stalled permanently? Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Filter. Thanks. Honorable Chabelin.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was listening when the inputs were given. And it took me a little bit back to the Northwest, where we had these meetings where people were saying, these are our problems. And we ended up nearly serving as a cushion between the masses and the department. And that was very, very sad. But, you know, listening deeply, I said, we have caused these problems ourselves. The department, the commission, all of us have made this, have created these problems. You would think people who are landowners, Honorable Filtani, people who are landowners, who form syndicates in response to the land being taken by the apartheid government. People go together, bring their sense together and sold what little bit that they have and formed groups to go and buy farms. Those who had money of their own bought their own farms. Apartheid took those lands away from them.
from the syndicate groups and from individuals who bought their own farms, people who had title deeds to land that they could call their own. The government comes in to help people to get back their land. And the agent we use, who are supposed to help us to give these people back their land individually and as groups, those who lost their land as syndicates should be given those lands as syndicates. Those who have title deeds individually should be given the individual title deeds. Now we take landowners, people who owned land, and we bundle them together and say, you know, you form a CPA. Why form a CPA when I have a title deed? I bought this land myself. This land says this land belonged to Nchabeleng, bought by my great-grandfather. Why don't you give me my title deed as Nchabeleng? Because I did not claim this land as a group. I claimed as an individual, as we claimed it as a family. And when it settled, they said, no, bring others, even the neighbors, even those who are not part of you. We have complicated a simple thing. And my plea is that I think we need to separate these two things. Those who are landowners, their cases should be dealt with separately. Those who are labor tenants, who got lands because they were labor tenants, the labor tenants were not individuals, they were groups working on the farm, staying there. And they are claiming as labor tenants staying on the farm. You cannot treat them the same as people who were title deeds. I wonder if I'm making sense. I mean, this is what I see in this document, and I'm saying that we complicated a simple thing. And my question is, why did we complicate this simple thing? And the resolution to these things is now people say, call a meeting and make us talk. The department says the talks are ongoing. I mean, that is within your powers as the department to say we are giving this community 3 months. First thing, the first month, the first week we'll do this, second week that, and then you can actually put time frames. There are no time frames. We're still waiting for 2 meetings, waiting to call committees, waiting to get intervention, waiting for an election team. Who puts these committees? Who puts these teams? Isn't it the department that does that? You can't even say we're going to put an election team in the next 3 months. What is happening in the Northwest? Are there laws governing the Northwest that are different from other provinces? I just said a little thing, Chairperson, that, you know, I once worked for the Commission on Restitution as a researcher. We had claims of people who had their title deeds. They were dealt with differently. There is no CPA in Alexander. I don't think so. People in the townships don't have CPAs. You were moved from stand number 301 and you go and claim and get your money, get your compensation as a person who was living on street 309, defunding whatever township that it is. But we don't say people must get together on this street to form a street committee or a CPA. Why did we decide to do things differently in the Northwest? So I was asking Chairperson, Deputy Minister, that we need to separate these things. Say, who are the people who are title deeds? Now that, because if we have a title deed and then it's taken from you and it's given to the whole community, that becomes another dispossession after you've been dispossessed of your land. It's a double tragedy for those who were dispossessed of their land by the apartheid government. And now, the new government now that is saying we are giving you this land, they dispossessed you of that same land again by bringing people that were not even part of you. If my grandfather bought this land and they were labor tenants, they'll be treated as labor tenants, and labor tenants had rights. So they'll be given their land as... I don't know why we do things this way, Comrade Shepherdson. I think we need to separate these two things. I'm worried about those who are landowners with title deeds, who lose their title deeds now to become beggars again.
Yeah, thank you. All members, we are at 10 past 12 now. We've taken more than close to an hour and a half on this item only. And the good members correctly so expect that the department must respond. And other members like Honorable Robertson expected to be able to make follow-up. I will request that honorable members, given the 15 items on our agenda, future agenda, we have the benefit of the inputs that you have made and the responses, and that we outline a process on how further to follow up on this. You have put it in your own wise words. I agree with every word. Acting DG, my dear. Did I welcome the DM? I did. Yeah, thank you, DM. Every word said by every member across the spectrum, I from the chair, I associate. I've heard in the House Presiding Officers Associate. I associate with every word said by every member in frustration. From Honorable Mbabama, we definitely noted, and I think the department was listening. You are dead right. Why Mr. Buhatsu, like Honorable Mbabama emphasized, Gandhi, as an ordinary person, because I was speaking, would put it, Gandhi Buhatsu ten, everywhere Buhatsu, 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 Gandhi Mdo ten. And all members, I'm just saying from the first speaker, they've been pitching to different heights, but to really say, Zizi, that something has got to be done about Northwest. I think Olaf Matthias also was saying the same, by way of investigation. Olaf Matthias talks about a multidisciplinary kind of investigation, or kind of an approach to dealing with this. And I'm not skipping you, Honorable Robertson, in terms of, because that exactly the crux of what you were saying was the business model. The business model of the CPAs, does it work? And where you have bigger groups of 32,000 villages giving you what number of people and beneficiaries? 32 villages giving you a certain number of beneficiaries was Honorable Robertson's point. I'm just saying all the members right through to Honorable Javeling, going back in history as to our experience with this. DM, this has been occasioned by us having been to the CPA amendment public hearings in Northwest. It was a very, very ugly scenario, more than anywhere this committee has ever been. At some point, I had to rise from my chair and go between the members of the public, charging straight for Mr. Buhatsu. I had to go in between. Like in the stadium when stones and bottles get thrown, I was in between. And people were saying, this man is lying. And how dare he's the one, all the interventions, in actual fact, before you respond, department, all the interventions, the people were saying, they are, you are creating the parallel structure. So where you are saying in the report, oh, I'm looking at something in front of me, that's what you have there, I have it here. Where you are saying in the report,
that two CPAs exist. The people were clear that you create parallelism. The people were saying Mr. Buhadze has got interest. You are clarifying that no, it's another Buhadze, they are not related. But the people on the ground say they are related. Where is the truth? And at this stage, I'm falling short of taking sides because I know the recommendation I'm going to make. The people are mentioning Mr. Buhadze's wife's business. The people are mentioning officials with... So, you know, DM, as we were going with the CPA amendment bill to the people and talking about the registrar, then the people were saying, no, you want to put Buhadze and who? Ubani Bosiaka Nashnali. Zimbabwe. So we reject this notion of a registrar because you want Parliament to put in Buhadze and Zimbabwe HF as these registrars. Then we are gone as the people. That's what the people were saying. The situation was much, much more. And I'm very happy that the honourable members are still so on it, because the people might be thinking that we are gone and that was it, you know. I'm very, very proud of these members across the spectrum, that when they were there, this experience, they have internalized department. And I'm making my own contribution to say the situation is very, very ugly on the floor, on the ground. On the ground is a better one. I don't know which member, but there's a member who correctly connects, I think Member Matthias correctly connects this land issue to other issues like minerals interests in the Northwest. And Honorable Filtane says, Yewa, there's no other province like this. It's true, we've been together throughout these provinces. There's none like this. There's none like this, Honorable Filtane. You're dead right. You're absolutely correct in Tanasamazizin. There's nothing like this anywhere else. We will allow responses. I am amplifying and putting weight because departmental officials like to know that we come from different political parties and look at what members are saying as though it's a certain party saying, any other objective person who can go to Northwest would come and see like these members are seeing when they look at the situation. It was ugly, ugly, ugly. The protectors wanted to protect us. But if we wanted to be protected and hid in that corner, protected as members by the protectors who were there and the police, the people would have gone for Mr. Buhadze. They would have gone for him. He will remember. And I've got strong difference with preliminary association with the complaints for which he has got to be cleared, as Oral Babama said. But he must be very, very proud of us. Had we not done what we did there to put our own lives in line, definitely something would be said about him by now. That day and that meeting. And throughout the different sports in Northwest, not one, we're in different places in the Northwest. It's transpiring, acting DG, from the people there in Northwest that I would say in a general sense, acting DG, is transpiring that we political office bearers have interests and are meddling in the land and mineral interests of the people there in Northwest. No wonder issues are not resolved there. We political office bearers, any other political office bearer involved, listening, hearing, or whatever, must really look herself, himself in the mirror and say, but what are my colleagues and comrades doing that is so ugly to the people of the Northwest in those CPAs? No, these people have parallel, the interests of the mining bodies, but the officials, the politicians, how ugly is this that you are doing? We don't get in and people cheer. Nor would we be so populist to want to get in to cheer, you know, that the donkey of Jesus Christ. Nazareth and the people were cheering, and the donkey came along. Jerusalem, Matthias, how would you know that when I was you? You are happy?
You heard from me.
Thank you. Dr. Maneza just left because I wanted to refer a task by way of way forward. We'll allow a comment for 3 minutes. It doesn't matter because a long process has got to be followed. But Dr. Matthias, Dr. Manenze, well, Matthias, you must go to VETS and other institutions. Ms. Pepeteka, the committee researcher, we would like to ask you to take this report of the on Northwest, synthesize it against the complaint. Throughout their reporting, I noted that recommendations and progress. The column on progress is not talking to recommendations at all. True and true. And look at that one in display. Look at any other. The progress is not talking to recommendations at all. The progress is just going its own way, despite recommendations. It's never done to Parliament, acting a DG. It's never done to Parliament. Recommendations of Parliament, they have got binding thing like that thing of a bad protest, is a good way of putting it. Next. Until you revert back to Parliament, and Parliament can then adjust its own recommendations. Recommendations of Parliament are simply, it said recommendations is a nice word, but they are directives, they are instructions, they are a mandate, they are rulings. So there are recommendations here in every other page in the report, and I see that the column on progress simply doesn't take to those recommendations. I would never like to talk about the late Sam Kwelita. He was MEC for local government. And the situation getting this near ugly about Nguma. And he was at the helm of it as MEC then. And I'm just trying to say, acting DG, I know exactly how powers and privileges act, how it empowers Parliament to act. There have been sins of late in the parastatals, in the hearings in Parliament. We wouldn't wish that the situation of Northwest goes to that level. But it is very, very ugly. All the members are singing in one song. We would never like that the situation goes to that level. So we are asking the committee support to refine, to revisit, to tease out, to indicate exactly, to look at recommendations and look at where you have not done what you are supposed to do, department. Now, Mr. Bukhate is in the Restitution Commission, LCC. It's a little bit of an ugly spot on your establishment. Until it is cleared, I know exactly, my name is Justice, I wouldn't see something ugly forever until so. But for now it is ugly, because remember, for now the truth is we sit with a certain version. It will take extraordinary strong OMO or some other product to really clear it up. If it's not clearable, you will decide, Chief Lendlease Commissioner, whether to sink with the boat or not. It's your call, madam. It's absolutely your call. I'm very, very serious. The recommendation by Honorable Matthias, which comes as number 2 to the recommendation that the committee support must tease out. The recommendation from the committee, let me not give it labels, is that a multidisciplinary investigation. So we will ask the committee support to consult parliamentary legal to find out how can we put Northwest under scrutiny. What are our options? What are our tools? It could be commissioning a forensic audit. It could be doing it via like the parastatals natives, like the parastatals have been doing under Parliament with parliamentary legal, you know. But certainly members, you are saying, and certainly from our ruling we will do exactly that, you are saying we must get to the rock bottom of this. And certainly, from closing the matter, we will get to the rock bottom of this. It's not going to be nice, acting DG. It's not going to be a nice one at all. We cannot allow corruption to happen right under our own eyes and noses. If the land of the Northwest is rich in minerals and anything else, let officials and politicians stay away from those people. It's their fortune and it's the fortune of the country. We get our good salaries. We are in the top 1% earners, isn't it? Fine. So be it. It's fine. I'm broke as I am, hardly a week after paying. But we have no duty to have our hands in the till. Now, Honorable Robertson, you want your hand in the till? No. Fine. I will just allow the department to reflect in a minute or two. Oh, Honorable Matthias, before that.
So you should not be disrupted as you make that important summer. Please, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you very much for that protection, Honorable Matthias. Mr. Robertson, please be called to order.
Point of order, Honorable Chair. Just checking if I can still take points of order. Okay, now it's
thank you. I will allow Acting HOD or DM or the head of the province, but each one of them, 1 minute, I'm not interested that we go back to the detail because we will follow a process about the detail. Thank you. Over to you.
Sorry, thank you very much, Chair. I wanted to make a request, but you seem to have covered my request. You seem to, I thought that Mr. Bukhatsu ought to be given the opportunity to say something on the issue of his supposed involvement. I don't know whether he would want to cater for that. And I was not sure. I don't want to waste time. I wanted the officials to respond quickly. I do not know whether this is a question about the observations of the high-level panel. I suspect not, because there's nothing to disagree with on those issues. I don't know whether the chair found. Okay, thank you.
Chair, I'll sum up in terms of the issues. But with your permission, I just wanted to allow the CFCC a moment so she can just quickly touch on with Mr. Bukhatsu as DMS requested.
CFCC.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. And the comments on the views of the committee are noted, and I have no objection with an investigation. However, I would like to just make a comment by stating that the issues that have been raised by the committee are not issues that are related to Northwest Province only. They're issues that are there across the board, especially in the Northwest, I mean in Northern Cape, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KZN, and that perhaps the issue is around the processing of the land that is acquired on behalf of Cayman communities in general, and the issues that are associated, including how CPAs are managed and who is responsible for managing CPAs. And further on, I would like to say for the record, because I think that it would be an error on my part if I were not to say so. I've got 9 provincial heads in the provinces, and Bukhatsu is one of the strongest provincial heads. And I think that a lot of the issues that are obtained are as a result of his involvement, deep involvement in issues, perhaps even issues that he shouldn't, because really in law, if you interpret restitution, the access that we're supposed to receive, investigate, and settle claims and end there. Once we've set those things up, we're not even supposed to be dealing with any of the issues that we're dealing with. But because of his passion, he ends up dealing with everything, including the CPH issues. And I have no objection with him being investigated, but I must, as his leader, communicate on record that I am of the view that I'm dealing with somebody who has strong morals and would not be associated with the corruption that is associated. But of course, I'm not married to him and I don't stay in his house, so the investigation will provide. The investigation will have to finalize. But I'm raising the issue of North Cape, Limpopo and others to say to the committee, I think that this is a broader problem and not just a Northwest problem. For example, in the Northern Cape, we've got mines as well, and we've got serious issues around CPAs. Perhaps one of them would be the Rustenburg and other, where we're not able to move forward because there are mines or minerals as well. So I just thought that I will cooperate with the department in ensuring that multidisciplinary committee to investigate is put in place. And I also just wanted to say that we still have the proclamation, 2012 proclamation, where the president signed off that we can be investigated by the SIU. So that is also an option that perhaps we can pursue. Thank you very much, Chair.
I think, Tishi, you want to come back? I'll then come go to Mr. Mukhazu.
Start with him and then I'll come.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I have noted the comments of honorable members regarding allegations that are made against me. And I do not have any problem because I know that the very same issues that are raised will be raised if you meet with the communities. But I think it's important for me to make the committee aware that the situation in Bojanala, because of what is happening, is very volatile. Any official who can go there, he will come across the very same problems. And most of the claims that we are dealing with are the claims that I found being there on the record that I'm trying to resolve. For instance, Bakhatla Bakhafela was settled before I joined the department. I joined the department in 2011. That claim, it started to go to Land Claims Court around 2010. It went there. The very same CPA of Dikgatlhong and Mamelodi. The matter has been dragging since 2010, before I was an official of the department. And there are records that are there that shows where it comes from. The Dikgatlhong and Mamelodi does not have any mineral right issues. The main issue is Bakhatla Bakhafela, of which I am saying, honorable members, even myself, I came to a point that trying to continue to resolve that problem ends up compromising one. And I fully accept. And I don't have anything to doubt. I can avail my bank account like it is alleging. We can check the details of my wife, whether I know that person. I don't know whether those people, when you just see the name Bukhaji, you just say Bukhaji is part of the process. So I'm one person who's very passionate about my job, but I have realized that sometimes if you try to resolve community problems, you end up becoming a problem. Because my role, like CLCC is indicating, is to settle problem claims. But the modus in which we are finding the challenge, because I'm born there in Northwest, most people know me because of my previous background. I'm a known person in the province. So when they come and run to me, when I tell them that I can't do these things, so they perceive it that Bukhaji does not want to help. So mainly, honorable members, people who are complaining about me, it's around Bojanala. And the two CPAs, it's Bakhatla Bakhafela. Fortunately, Deputy Minister is meeting them on the 24th. Deputy Minister will also be able to make conclusions. The other one is Dikgatlhong and Mamelodi. That one, we have appointed many mediators and there is no outcome. I will be more than willing to cooperate to assist that those CPAs must be attended to.
As far as me, I cannot object to anything that the honorable members think is appropriate to be done because it will save the situation. But what is important is to come up with measures that will be able to take these problems and resolve them. Because if we resolve them attending to the symptoms like we indicated in our report, that what we are dealing with here are the symptoms are not the root cause. The issue around Bakatla is around chieftaincy and Miral. The commission is going on. There is a case again on the 24th, like we indicated.
Sorry,
that
is
going. No, thanks very much. So I'm saying I fully cooperate.
Once you see this red light here, you just stop there. I'm not sure why we gave you. I think the acting DG suggested so. And certainly, given the pressure that's on your shoulders, you are going on in a manner that perhaps is neither going to resolve issues raised by members nor actually clear your name. You can try. I can give you issue one time, but it's not going to clear your name unless if we unfold a professional process. And that's what we need. So I thought that you were just going to do like an overview in the manner that, like you are saying, these issues perhaps are systemic or something, you know. And to the extent that your name has been mentioned, perhaps a profound statement like you are opening yourself and your bank account. In any event, even if you had not said so, if investigation has got to go that far, that's how it will have to. So if you don't mind, I will leave you at the last word you've already said, unless if you feel that there was something profound you wanted to pronounce. Because there will be a due process. There can't be from now be a ruling that so-called you are found guilty or what. There will have to be a due process. We have noted the CLCC, I'm coming back to this, CLCC's point that you're one of the strongest heads, you know, and sometimes it may as well be that a wrong person is crucified. He was crucified in the cross, I'm told, by the believers. A wrong person was crucified on the cross with Amabhadra next to him. I talked yesterday about Galileo, a wonderful scientist who was also persecuted and true for the truth. So we don't know yet. Neither do we want to know. But we can't go to those people and say we have not heard your cry. You know, yeah. So, Mr. Mukhazi, like Ms. Mbabama had said, there has been a lot said about your name. But just to clear the CLCC, the investigation can't be on the person. It will be on the systems, on the methods, on the goings on in the CPAs there. Sadly, CLCC, you are proceeding as the commission to do post-settlement support. We think that you are breaking the law. That's what we think. We think that you are breaking, you listening, acting DG. We think that they are breaking the law and perhaps you are accomplices to that. We think that the Restitution Commission has no such mandate as to go after it has settled people. Because the Restitution Commission would know best which land is strategic and what not, officials who are there. And they just exposing themselves to unnecessary temptations and, settle the people and leave them. It must be nice to say bye-bye, close the book, and step aside. Honorable Robertson, I wouldn't like us to take another round of hands, if you don't mind. We close it and leave it at this. I've given tasks to the committee support. I'm giving tasks to the... I'm just clarifying CLCC that I'm not sure if the investigation will be done by yourselves to yourselves. That's why I'm saying the committee, parliamentary legal advice will give us, and then we might correspond with you in writing and say, this is a parliamentary process to unfold. Or we might say, okay, acting HOD or acting DG, who's also an HOD, by the way, please follow a certain process and report to Parliament.
The legal is listening. They will advise us. The committee support are here. They will advise us and see the mismatch that we have between the parliament's recommendations and what you have now responded to. No, Honourable Robertson, no, we really have to step aside, because it's 20-1. Is there anything I've left out?
Yeah. Honourable Chair, yes. Just as a point of clarity is what I was wanting to ask. You just indicated now that we shouldn't be investigating, the panel shouldn't be investigating an individual, but rather investigating that. I would prefer that we investigate it both, to clear the Honourable Kotz's name. He's come forward, he said he's willing to assist us. If I was in his situation, I would want my name cleared.
Shall we leave it there? Thank you.
No, Honourable Chair.
I've heard your point. I want to clarify you. You were seeking clarification. I want to clarify you.
Okay, so...
I've heard your point.
The first point is, can there be an investigation on an individual? If there is a possibility of being an investigation on an individual, I propose that we investigate Mr. Bakhatsu as well as the Commission as a two-pronged approach. That's a proposal I put forward so that we can clear his name and we can at least go back to the people of Northwest and say this is what we're willing to do and show some transparency. I don't know about the other members feel.
Honoured members, you are right to withdraw your nomination of me to chair the meeting, but under any chair, the meeting must be well guided. Absolutely, you raise something that's within my competence, something that I've listened to. I indicate that I'm taking care of that point, but the members still prefer to continue. It can't be right to honour members at all, by any meeting standards, honestly. You're seeking clarity, Honourable Robertson, and I indicated that I catch your point. Let me clarify once again. There is a series of concerns and complaints that emerge from Northwest public hearings on CPA amendment. It affected even the extent and level of contributions of the public, because people were saying, we do not want the registrar of CPAs because it will be Mr. Bukhazu and Mr. Jeff Sebab. That's what people were saying. So people were looking at the proposed amendment bill more in the light of their experiences. So what we have done are two things. CPA amendment we're continuing with, and then we asked the department to compile a response on the allegations that were tabled. And this is the response we are interacting with now. Now, in summary, I'm saying, we are not going to investigate the individual per se. We will investigate the sum totality of the allegations given by the people. In doing so, you cannot spare individuals. In doing so, you cannot spare individuals. As you investigate Bakhatla, Bakhafela, Ramatlakane and other sites, in the process, individuals implicated by the people's complaints will have to come to the fore. At the conclusion of that, whatever method those professionals use, the multidisciplinary, as suggested by Honorable Matthias, at the conclusion of that, naturally, the issue about the names of individuals, the issue about policies, the issue about post-settlement support, the issue about legislative gaps, the issue about will then be put in place from such an investigation as recommendations and actionable things to be taken up. That's the summary. I think it is clear. So it's not going to be either or. As you investigate the circumstances, you cannot say no, but we are not investigating individuals. Likewise, you cannot say you investigate individuals, but you are leaving the systems. So you are dealing with the concerns of the people, but you see a need to put it under professional scrutiny by multidisciplinary or any other form or mechanism, as we may be advised. And as you do that, that's what is going to happen. At the end of that exercise, certainly the name of Mr. Bukhatu will be put one side or the other. But the exercise is not based on an individual, because it becomes witch hunt. becomes witch hunt. The exercise is based on the circumstances of those people. And I can only wish that Mr. Bukhatsu, that as one individual implicated, I can only wish that your name will emerge very, very strong from there, because I'm aware in history about circumstances where people were alleged to be villains only to find out they are heroes. Like the hero was put on the cross as the Christians have it. But on the other hand, there's also an English saying that there can be no smoke without fire. So we'll leave it at that at this stage. This is not a meeting that is going to be able to dispense with that work on its own. The matter under Northwest is now DG, you still wanted to say something?
Sure, I just wanted to close then from the side of the department in terms of the comments that you have made and the committee has made, to just say that we accept the concerns that are raised. I think they are very serious concerns and we acknowledge them. And just to indicate, Chair, like CLCC has indicated, in terms of the investigation, as the committee has suggested, that we will be available to take the recommendations. But beyond that, we had already indicated that we are going to conduct a forensic investigation in terms of the allegations that have been raised as a department. So I assume that we will continue those in terms of those specific ones while we wait for the broader multidisciplinary type investigation that is coming, because otherwise we could wait until we get that recommendation from the committee. So I just wanted to be clear on that. But just my last comment was that the issues of CPAs in general, remember there are many issues being raised by honorable members in terms of our capacity, etc. We understand that we have to change our strategy because there are systemic issues within the entire process of CPAs, Chair. And perhaps if we are given an opportunity in the next month or so, we will then come and present to you our refined strategy and capacitation model that we want to put in place around CPAs, as well as the new modeling of how we're doing settlement support, especially in terms of restored land, the agreements that we have come to now with the Commission in terms of that. I don't want to go into the detail, Chair, given the time now, but if you would allow us, we will then come and represent that. But in terms of the investigation, we accept the need for the investigations as Chair has indicated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. The multidisciplinary investigation, Acting DG, is a recommendation of the committee subject to interaction with parliamentary legal support. To say parliamentary legal support, through the ears of Mr. Mjekani, you heard, or we can brief them, you've heard the issues, you have a sense of how we want to go forward on the issues. How best do you advise us? So it's not yet record that we are going on multidisciplinary investigation, but it is the intent of the committee, subject to the parliamentary legal. Parliamentary legal might say, no, follow a model followed in a certain 1, 2, 3, maybe in the parastatals, maybe in SAPC, maybe in... That's what parliamentary legal will be saying to it. Mr. Mjekani is here. There will be says with that. Coupled with that will be a refined document from the committee support to research and our content advisor, where they will be looking at what a coincidence that all the recommendations of the committee were kind of ignored in how the progress is being reported on. You go through that document, check recommendations, check progress, check recommendations, check progress. It looks like recommendations are just a by the way. And then they will compile that professional document, the committee support. And then it should be a basis for seeking advice. The intention is to get to the rock bottom of it. The vehicle we're not sure. Let me then conclude on the point, DG, that you were raising and the CLCC was raising. There's this point about your own internal investigation. We will then like to consult regarding that. Must we allow that process to take place? Remember, Parliament is independent of yourself. Parliament has picked up serious concerns from the community at Northwest. Now, you are saying, okay, but you were en route a process to do forensic investigation. So Parliament may say, okay, continue with that. Or Parliament may say, no, we are interested in our own process given the gravity of the matter. So that's a grey area for now, and as we close the item, it remains very grey until we have clarity as to which way we want to go, you know, right. You could make us worry when you begin to say, no, the problems are systemic. None of you have said, hey, there seems to be some strong allegations of Joe Hart. None of you said so. You say he's such a strong person. They are such, the problems are systemic. They're not only in the Northwest, they are everywhere. That's what you are saying. Fine. Let's reserve it for another day or for the break, during the break. But that's what I heard you to be saying. None of you seem to be saying, no, man, there seems to be some. None of you is saying that. So that is why the legal in advising us must advise us whether that investigation can be conducted by the other side or from the other side, because the other side also has got its own tools and mechanisms. But even members will indicate to me during break, you have listened to the issue. I'll suggest this is not now, but we'll just have a small break, you know. And then we step aside. Zizi?
Thanks very much, Chair. Just two quick things. One, just to indicate that I've got an appointment with an assessor, insurance assessor, outside at 1:05. So I will step out even if we're still proceeding. And secondly, as you conclude this critical matter, and you agree with the process that you think we should take, it deserves the gravity of the matter deserves that to go that route. Can you give us a sense of more or less when this could take place? Because I think the people back home would want to know, and I think the provincial head would go home with a much lighter heart if he's able to say, look, Parliament has decided on this, and more or less their processes could take so long before this kind of investigation takes place. I think that would be worth an ounce of gold for him to take home. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Sultan. You've got this 1:05 and 14 minutes or even less. So I'll just adjourn now for 5 minutes, and then we'll ask during adjournment that Unati talks to us about options, just the committee members, perhaps, and committee support, right? Because for now it's work in progress that we're not able to be definite. Yeah. Probably he has got tools to, yeah. Thank you very much. The issues in Northwest, I repeat, I close off, they are very, very dire. Any parliament that could ignore that would just be signing its own death warrant. But we take the caution that CLCC everywhere else is like that. But we were everywhere as well. We were everywhere. So it's in our wisdom, as members are saying, that Northwest became the most dire in terms of the CPAs and meddling, or perceived meddling by the departmental officials, right? Be that as it may. So we adjourn the matter and we'll release the Northwest component of the meeting to be free to leave as and when they feel like so leaving. This adjournment is just a short one, just a 3-minute one, you know? It's just it used to be called a smoking break. It was very incorrect that it was called like that. Yeah, it is. Thank you.